Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, October 9th, 2017, and we are a few hours removed from the Green Bay Packers defeating the Dallas Cowboys 35-31 at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. I was there. Tom Silverstein was there. We're still here, actually. It's really, really late at AT&T Stadium, but it was another exciting game, really similar in a lot of ways to the playoff game last year. And so where do we begin with this one, Tom?
Well, I guess first of all, we should look at how things started. We weren't sure what tackles were going to start. Lots of reports out there. As it turned out, one started, one didn't. And they had to go with Lane Taylor at left tackle again and use Justin McCray at left guard instead of Lucas Patrick this week because Brian Bulaga was back at right tackle. All in all, I mean, that's the best five they have. McCray is just, I think, a better pass blocker than Lucas Patrick. And while he had his share of missed blocks, you know, the pressure wasn't overwhelming. Rodgers got sacked four times, but I think the element that having McCray and Taylor on the same side is run blocking. I think Taylor's their best run blocker, and I think McCray's not far behind, and it really does give them kind of a nice tandem over there.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the numbers out here. This was probably the best running game that they had in a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about Montgomery having that big game in Chicago last year, but that was, I mean, there was one really long play that was like a 60-yarder
right.
or something, whereas,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm looking here, and Aaron Jones had 19 carries for 125, an average of 6.6, and his longest was 22, so it's not like that's skewed by any sort of a crazy number.
Yeah, I went through each and every one of his runs, and I think it was 13 of them were 5 yards or more.
Which is, the Packers haven't had that since Eddie Lacy was skinny.
Yeah.
Which is a long time ago.
Yeah, and it changed everything for them in this game. It allowed them in that final drive, game-winning drive, to run their offense. They didn't, the biggest difference between the game-winning drive in the divisional game and the game-winning drive here was that other one was sort of a hodgepodge, and they were lucky. You know, they got a couple of big plays, particularly the one to Cook. On this drive, they just marched. They got 14, 15, 14, you know, 18, and just worked their way right down the field, both running and passing the ball.
Now, I'm really looking forward to going back and watching the end of this game because I don't know exactly what Dallas did and didn't do on that last possession, but I was amazed at how they seemed to just give up yards in chunks. I mean, there was only one play. I've got the play-by-play here. There was only one play on that drive that went for less than 12 yards. I mean,
yeah.
There were a couple incomplete passes, but in terms of plays where the Packers gained yards, there was only one that gained less than 12,
well,
which is pretty remarkable.
What they did was they went to a dime defense. They call it their dime 32, or the Packers call it dime 32, because Orlando Scandrick, number 32, is their slot corner, and he's sort of their wild card, their Charles Woodson, so to speak. And they played both safeties deep. They mugged their linebackers up, and Rodgers just threw stuff underneath them. And then when the linebackers played back, he ran the ball. It was really...
Was it too passive by Dallas?
Well, you know, there were times it was a three-man rush.
Right.
But there were some times they blitzed the safety, they blitzed the linebacker. It's kind of how they play defense. They're not a huge blitzing team. They're a cover two team. And I think they just didn't have enough defense for Adams, Bennett, Allison. You know, Nelson didn't even play the last drive. And they just worked the rookie. You know, they worked the heck out of
Jordan Lewis.
And that got him. What, three? I mean, they set him up if you look on the very first play, they throw back shoulder to him.
Mm-hmm.
On the next, later they come back and throw a slant on him. Then they come back and they throw what they call this wing pass, which is really where he starts worrying about the back shoulder, and so he's sort of playing on the outside looking for it, and then they sort of throw it over his head and add to the outside, and Adams just spins, and he's got it. And that's what they did on those last two plays.
And the last play was the 12-yard touchdown to Adams, and I know you and I throughout the week were a little bit, you know, questioning whether he would play,
yeah.
despite some of the reports that said that, you know, he was progressing well. He ultimately cleared the protocol Saturday before the team flew to Texas, and so then it was pretty clear that he was probably going to be available. And this was so reminiscent of what he did last season. I looked
mm-hmm.
at the numbers. He had like 13 catches for 132 yards and two touchdowns against the Bears 4 days after he suffered a concussion. And this year, 10 days after a concussion, which was, you know, far more devastating in terms of appearance, he responds with 7 catches, 66 yards, two touchdowns. And, I mean, after the game, he said that he essentially felt fine. He had no headaches all week long, nothing. He felt fine essentially from the day after the hit, which
Absolutely crazy.
I mean, maybe some people are built differently than others, but I just... I mean, to me, that would be unfathomable when you watch that play.
Really would. you know, I guess he just recovers faster than the normal people. And he didn't look any different than he did in the Bears game. That's for sure. I thought he was the same guy. And he, boy, he's good at working the sideline. And his footwork is so good. It's hard for a rookie to really handle him by himself.
What did you think of the rest of the receivers today? You know, there wasn't a whole lot from Jordy Nelson except for that one touchdown. They got a couple plays here and there from Cobb. But to me, it was kind of one of those games where Rodgers kind of did a lot of it himself rather than, you know, relying too much on the receivers.
Well, you know, Jones was a big, big factor. Rodgers only threw 29 times.
Right.
Which isn't a lot for him. Dak Prescott threw 36, and Ezekiel Elliott had 29 carries. It was a little fractured in the first half. They had a good drive, then they didn't. But I think, you know, I think they're still kind of finding themselves offensively. How are they going to get Martellus Bennett the ball? I thought he actually had a couple of big catches in this game.
That one that was like a wide receiver screen kind of thing where they swung it out to him with Cobb and Allison in front of him. They made great blocks, and he, you know, did the rest.
Yeah, on the final drive.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big play. Then he had a 33-yard catch down the sideline where he just – Rodgers threw it up, and Bennett was taller and made a really nice catch on it. You know, Cobb didn't have that much, and Nelson seems to be just a red zone threat now. You know, he doesn't seem to be making the explosive plays, but he's dynamite in the short yardage around the end zone.
So the Cowboys are not a great defensive team. I think that needs to be pointed out when we talk about the success that the Packers had in the run game today.
Yeah.
But if they can have anything even remotely close to this type of success, whether it's Jones, whether it's Williams, whether it's Montgomery, whoever, how much does that change things, and how much pressure does it take off Rodgers when they can just get something in the run game?
Well, I sort of was snarky and said, you know, this was the first time that, you know, usually teams laugh at the Packers when they try play action, and this time the play action actually worked. And you could see it on the touchdown to Jordy Nelson. They play action and the safety and the linebacker all bit and let Nelson run right behind them. So that's what it does. It opens up a lot of things. Now, they're going to be playing a lot better defense next week against Minnesota.
No question.
And the rush will be better. And who knows if they'll Bakhtiari or not. But that's a fast surface. It's loud. It's going to be a bigger challenge than today was.
Now, I think we have to talk about Aaron Jones specifically because
mm-hmm.
I thought his performance was tremendous. You know, for a guy making his first career start, you know, he obviously had some playing time last week, but his first career start, he gets 19 carries, and I thought all the things that we had seen in small doses, the explosiveness, mm-hmm. the change of direction, the toughness when he needs to be, I thought it was all there, and I never saw Eddie Lacy as a rookie, but I was really, really impressed with this.
Well, I thought it was everything that we've been talking about on this podcast. We've been saying that Aaron Jones needs to play. And it's obvious why, because the guy has far more quickness than anybody else they have. You know, maybe Devontae Mays will turn out to be that way. But right now, Aaron Jones is the best they've got. And Ty Montgomery can't stay healthy. So Aaron Jones has to be a major part of this run game, as long as he stays healthy. And who knows, I'll bet you Montgomery doesn't play next week.
No, I agree with you. And now, you know, Jamal Williams, too, was coming off a little bit of a banged-up knee. But, you know, I think it shows you how impressed the coaches were with Jones's performance last week against the mm-hmm. Bears, that he goes from 13 carries for 49 yards into a role where not only is he starting, but Williams carries the ball one time for 10 yards. And he was a non-factor.
And they totally trusted Jones to pass block, to be in the backfield on third downs. He played, Rutkowski was back there a few times, but I got to say, he probably, how many snaps did they have today?
I don't think they have those. Oh, total snaps?
Yeah.
I'm not
they
sure.
They had, let me bear with me here, and Packers had 58 plays. I'll bet you Jones was on the field for 50 of them.
So what does this mean, do you think, for the running game moving forward whenever Montgomery gets back to full strength? I mean, can you not play this guy at this point?
I think you could start Montgomery, but just because, okay, he's your veteran, he's a heck of an athlete and all of that kind of stuff, but ultimately Jones has to be your bell cow. He's just got too much quickness, jump cut ability, sets up his blocks really well. On those inside run touchdowns that he had, both times he made shifty moves to wait for his blocks and play off them perfectly. So it's going to be hard to keep him out of this offense. They can't be afraid to hurt Ty Montgomery's feelings.
No, I agree with you. And I'm eager to see how the running game shakes out against Minnesota. But I think that on the heels of a performance like this, I think it makes sense to sit Montgomery, even if he is feeling better. You know, why risk it? They've got, one more game after that and then the bye? Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned on this podcast, I wouldn't be surprised if they sat him through the bye.
Sure.
I mean, New Orleans, in theory, should not be a tough game right before the bye week. So that's something to keep an eye on there. Anything else you want to talk about on the offense?
Let's see. Offensively, I just thought that the offensive line played really well in the run game.
No question.
You know, there was problems in the pass protection. Lindsley had a lot of problems with David Irving.
Yeah.
And that's why some of those snaps, I don't know if you saw, he had a number of low snaps, and I talked to him about it. He said he was, you know, too quick to get into his pass blocking because he's obviously worried about Irving. Irving put a big hit on Rodgers in that last series, the one where he threw to Allison out of bounds. You know, that's something that they had to overcome. So other than that, that's pretty much it offensively.
And I just wanted to mention really quickly, too, that Rodgers chipped in 32 yards rushing as well, had a key scramble. So essentially it bumps up the total to 160 with 6.4 yards a carry, which I don't know if the Packers could have hoped for that in their wildest dreams coming into this season.
No.
So pretty impressive there. Let's flip over to the other side of the ball and I guess, first of all, let's start with, you know, the beginning of the game. I think Prescott started out like 11 of 13 mm-hmm. for 145 and three touchdowns. What did you make of that, you know, metaphorical punch in the face early on there?
Well, you know, I sort of wrote that, you know, coming into this game that Dallas was going to hit them hard to start. You know, their back's against the wall. They're 2-2. They got to win at home. They were going to come out with everything. And it was going to be up to the Packers to withstand that somehow. And, you know, early on, I thought they played great run defense. I mean, absolutely great run defense against Ezekiel Elliott. The thing was, they just, the back end could not deal with his ability to get out of the pocket. And as soon as...
Prescott, you mean?
Yeah, Prescott. As soon as Dallas's receivers went into scramble mode, they were toast. You know, Clinton Dix had just a rough game.
He's had a rough start to the season. We've said it a couple times. I mean, for a guy that played as well as he did last year, I think it's been a disappointing start.
I think so, too. And I don't know how he didn't make up ground on that ball to Bryce Butler.
Yeah.
Looked like he had an interception, and he just looked like he was stuck in mud. And then, you know, let's talk about the secondary situation, which turned into a mess. You can address that better than I.
Yeah.
You wrote about it.
So, you know, coming into the game, they actually were in a pretty good spot. You know,
mm-hmm.
they had Devon House back for the first time since he dropped out against the Falcons. You had Kevin King, who they felt really confident in the last couple games. So those two guys started in the base defense, and they did play a decent amount of base early in the game. And then in the nickel, they used Demarius Randall. But then King goes out of the game with a concussion, and things...
Just a great tackle on Elliott.
Was that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that's when he got hurt.
Okay.
It was a fabulous tackle.
So King goes out of the... Oh, the one in the flat.
That
was the very first play
of
the game. Okay.
Yeah,
so King goes out on the very first play of the game, and then essentially... They mixed and matched way more than I expected from that point forward. If you look at what they did against Chicago when Randall got benched, they put Hawkins in there and let him go the rest of the game. Today they were using House, Randall, Rollins, Hawkins. They used everybody, and it didn't seem to be any discernible pattern. It was
half a series
here, one
Good
series
point.
There. It was very strange. And I just sort of asked some guys about it, and they just kind of said, well, you know, we just need different guys to step up at different times. They didn't really seem to have much of an explanation for it. I'll be interested to ask Dom Capers that, about why they decided to go with that approach. What do you think?
Well, there were a couple times Randall got banged up a couple times.
And what else
had
is
to go
new?
Out. Yeah, House... suffered cramps
yep.
and had to go out for a while. You know, ultimately, you know, once again, Quentin Rollins proved that he can't handle the slot.
No.
And I don't know where there's a place for him on the field. I'm just not sure.
I think the Rollins situation is similar to the Ladarius Gunter one, in that if you look at approach to the game, demeanor, attitude, effort, they're two guys that they love to have on the field. Rollins does nothing wrong. He's a smart kid. He plays really hard. He's just not fast enough. And he still has poor instincts coming over from basketball.
Yeah.
But I don't know where you put him anymore. He can't play on the outside. Cole Beasley made him look like he was stuck in the mud, to borrow your phrase.
Yeah.
I just don't know what you do with him anymore.
I think he's a special teams player and an emergency guy like he was today.
Do you think they have to start training Hawkins more in the slot? We didn't see it much in camp. Do they have to start doing it now?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they have to. They have to back themselves up that way. Normally, they could play Morgan Burnett in the slot.
I was surprised they didn't do that today.
But well, he's not a good matchup against Beasley because you're talking about a quick guy. He's a better matchup against a bigger
Witten
guy,
like when he played Witten a few times today.
Yeah. And then of course Bryce got hurt early, so Burnett had to play back. Josh Jones was playing the nitro. They kind of abandoned that later. It was really a disjointed defensive effort.
So before we finish talking about the defense, let's sort of extrapolate out the secondary situation. And let's say, for the sake of argument, Kevin King cannot go against the Vikings next weekend. What do you think they do?
Well, first, let's talk about Demarius Randall.
Yeah, exactly.
He wrote about him, and he's definitely – boy, is he a lightning rod for attention – he comes in and they let him play the slot. They're like, we're not going to bench him. We're not going to make him inactive. And there he is in the slot. And then why don't you just go through what his day was like?
So he played some in the slot. He played some outside. And, you know, he was one of the corners that gave up a touchdown in the first half. He was one-on-one with Dez Bryant. To be fair, he was actually in pretty good position on that play.
Just didn't turn his head.
Dak made a great throw, and Dez made sort of like a sliding, diving kind of catch there for the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the second half, again, he's mixing in and out of the lineup, and he's Johnny on the spot for the easiest pick six he's probably ever going to have.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott throws a ball that was a blatant, terrible drop by Terrence Williams right off his hands. Randall's there to catch it on the fly, and he goes in for a 21-yard pick six.
And let's give him credit for scoring, because Absolutely. He did not just try to go down, or he didn't. He really showed some moves to get to the end zone.
And then let's take away a little credit for the silly penalty, because in typical Demaryius Randall fashion, nothing can be pristine and polished.
He gets
flagged for sort of tossing the ball at Dak Prescott and then kind of glaring at him a little bit. So I think it was a combination of the ball toss and maybe a sliver of taunting. But so now let's extrapolate it out. What do you do with these guys against Minnesota if King can't go?
You have no choice. You have to go with House and Randall as a starter, and then you go with House and Hawkins on the outside, and you put Randall inside. I don't know how else they could do it.
Do you think this can spark Randall in the right direction? I know it was a lucky play because he was in the right spot at the right time, but is this the type of thing that can, I don't know, I hate to say bolster his confidence, because it seems like he doesn't have, more than that than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what to make of him anymore, honestly.
Well, and then there was
I wanted to mention this. Clinton Dix said that Demaryius Randall is the most talented defensive back on the roster, safety or corner. He said by far he's the most talented DB they have.
Wow. Okay.
So take that for what you want.
All right. Well, yeah. He did make a really nice play on a deep ball. I think it was to Terrence Williams. It was a free play.
Yes, it was.
And you got to finish that play, and he did. But, Demaryius Randall's going to be Demaryius Randall, and you never know what you're going to get week to week. And they got to get Kevin King back. It might have been a different game if he had stayed in the game, because I think they would have been able to play the Cowboys a little differently. And they played them very aggressively against the run. I mean, they really brought their linebackers up. They brought their safeties up. They knew that they were going to just give Elliott the ball hell or high water. And for the most part, they played it pretty well, and then they started to wear down with all the injuries and just sloppy play.
Yeah, the Cowboys put together that 17-play, 79-yard drive in the fourth quarter. Elliott had 40 of those 79 yards, and I talked to Ricky Jean-Francois about that drive in particular, and he basically had a really interesting quote, so I'm going to read it here. He said, quote, "At first we were stopping him, but then we was lazy. We didn't do our jobs. We wasn't in the gaps. We wasn't making tackles. We wasn't executing our things. With a running back and an offensive line like that, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to start pounding and chipping away. They're going to find a way to make sure 21 is getting upfield with the ball."
Mm-hmm.
And then he pointed out another thing, which is that, yes, they left Rodgers enough time, and yes, Rodgers won the game with 73 seconds on the clock, but he said that they can't rely on those situations.
No.
They had plenty of opportunities to make a stop and get off the field or force a field goal, and they couldn't do it. And so he said that, while for him, this was the first time he watched Rodgers do something like that, and he said it was awesome, but he said there's no way they can count on that, and they need to come up with stops late in the game.
Well, think about what if Prescott had – he scored the go-ahead touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
What if he had stopped on the one?
Jason Garrett was asked that question.
Yeah, and just let the clock run.
Yeah.
And then they – now, would that have been a first down if he had gotten that – if he had stopped at the one? I can't remember where they were. Let me look at the
– they were at the 11.
Play. So, yeah, so he scores – and third and two, yeah. So
third
and
two from the 11.
It would have been a first down. Packers had one timeout left. That's risky. It's really risky. But from the one, and you got Ezekiel Elliott, I'll take four cracks at that,
Absolutely.
With him.
Now, in fairness, that's a really easy thing to say in hindsight. And I think for any player, if you see the goal line, it's hard to slow down and think that, especially if it wasn't discussed ahead of time,
Mm-hmm.
Like for him to make that decision on his own on the fly would be tough. So what did Elliott finish with? 29 carries for 116, so 4 yards on the
4.0.
And so I asked two people. I asked Jean-Francois and I asked Ahmad Brooks. I said, look, it took him 27 carries to get to 100. Mm-hmm. I said, if I told you guys that ahead of time, would you take it? Less than 4 yards a carry to get to 100? And Jean-Francois said, yes, but we would have liked to keep him at 99. Mm-hmm. And Brooks said, no. And I said, why? And he goes, well, if you have a team like Dallas with that offensive line and you give them 4 yards on first down and 4 yards on second down, it's third and two. That doesn't favor us in any way when we're in third and two.
No.
And so he said that they need to play better against the run.
But they didn't, you know, in the first half, they didn't give him 4 yards. It wasn't until the second half that they just kind of started, the defense let up or something in the run game. Like Francois said, they just weren't as good. So he had 14 carries for 30 yards in the first half.
So 2.1 a carry in the first half. Yeah. And then essentially he had to almost triple that in the second half to get to a 4.0 average.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like his longest run was 25 yards, so they didn't give him a, you know, 60-yard run or anything. I really don't have a problem with the way they played Elliott.
I don't either.
I have a problem with the way they finished their pass rushes. I thought they did not could not get Prescott down on the ground. I also thought there was some sloppiness in the run defense. I saw, like, Mike Daniels get rooted out because he was too aggressive on some plays. They also went to a defense that I hadn't seen them really run, which was basically a 4-3.
Yep.
Where they go with Lowry outside, Perry outside, two defensive tackles inside, and then
three Martinez, linebackers
Ryan,
behind them.
And Matthews stacked.
And they dropped there. Matthews a lot in coverage in that second half.
They did, and it helped. I mean, it really did help. It took Witten out of the game to some degree. I mean, he averaged 7.6 yards carry a completion. I think Williams might have seen Matthews coming when he dropped that ball because he was about to get smacked by Matthews. It turned out okay. It's not something that you're going to go back and say, if you're Dom Capers or anybody, Mike McCarthy, and say, boy, I hope we play defense like this again. It was a matter of survival against a good offensive team, and they're going to have to play better as the year goes on.
I will say this. Blake Martinez has played better than I ever
Much
would have
better.
Thought.
Yeah.
I mean, man, is he flying all over the place, slicing into the backfield. When they've asked him to pass rush, he hasn't been completely wiped out the way Joe Thomas used mm-hmm. to be in those situations. I never saw this coming based on the way OTAs and the early portion of camp went, so I think he deserves a lot of credit. Anything else on defense? We still have to talk about the special teams issues.
Yeah. Defense. Mike Daniels played a lot.
Yeah.
But I thought, as is typical, when you miss two games or whatever it was, he missed three games. Pretty much three games. You're not gonna come back and be a world beater. Except
and this was a good offensive line, too.
Yes, it's a good offensive line. Although I saw Kenny Clark. I thought he played pretty well. He had five tackles.
Clark had five?
Yeah. What did Mike Daniels had? Three. You know, we'll see how many pressures any of them had later when we look at it. But there was only two quarterback hits. So, yeah, they just – it wasn't great. Yeah, that's about all I get to say about defense.
So let's go to special teams. And I think we haven't even mentioned special teams in the first couple podcasts mm-hmm. after the games because there hasn't been a reason to. And this reason is a negative one. Two missed extra points for Mason Crosby.
Yeah.
One of them for sure was the fault of Tabor Pepper, the long snapper. The second one, the snap barely got off the ground and Vogel tried to stand it up at the last second and Crosby had to, like, you know, hitch his attempt to get there, and then he hooked it way wide and it wasn't even close. I didn't see a good view of the first one, but
I didn't either.
You know, look, I hate to say it this way, but I wonder, is there already a pink slip in Pepper's locker back in Green Bay?
Well, question is, who are you going to bring in? Who is it?
Derek Hart was
better?
Here longer than he was.
I know. And
is Rick Lovato out there somewhere?
No. Yeah, he's snapping for
the Eagles, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really barren out there. Losing Brett Goode was pretty much a blow. I mean, they got to give this guy a chance.
Yeah.
It could end up costing him a game. It almost cost him a game today. But you know, they don't really have much of a choice. They've got to just keep working with him, get him better.
And I got to think this was mostly on Pepper, because there was a video replay that they showed, or not a video replay, just they panned to the sideline really quick, and Vogel was standing there with Crosby, and Crosby was, like, really intensely talking to Pepper. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, he's the new guy, he's the young guy, he's a rookie, it's only his second game. Again, we're going to hear from Ron Zook probably later Monday afternoon to get a better idea, but logic dictates that it was probably more on his end than anybody else.
How many extra points does Crosby miss?
Exactly.
Almost never. And, you know, they did better later in the game. But, yeah, you got to assume something's off when Crosby misses by that much. The first one, he just hit the right post.
Correct.
And that's possible that there was nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And he just hit the post. But that second one, for sure. I mean, we all saw it. So they just got to keep working with that guy. I don't think there's really – you can keep running guys in and out if you want and try it, but you're not going to get any kind of consistency that way.
It's a good point. It's a good point. So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on this week. And, you know, whatever Ron Zook says, I'm sure we'll shed a little bit more light on the situation. The only other thing I need to mention on special teams is somebody finally kicked the ball to Janis. They made him return it for the first time in five games. He had one return, and it wasn't good for 17 yards.
Terrible. I mean, it was awful. There was guys on him, but by the time he got to the 17-yard line.
Well, I asked Janis the other day. I said, look, you guys haven't – you can do this in practice all you want, but, I mean, you never go live.
Yeah.
There's no live contact. I said, so these guys haven't done this since the exhibition season. Are you worried at all about any of this? And he said no, but I got to think that's rust on their part.
Maybe. It could be. You know, so I was looking at the stats, NFL stats. The Packers ranked 7th in the NFL in average drive start after kickoff.
By not returning anything.
By not returning a single kickoff.
And today, Janis took a knee 1 yard deep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, they were kicking from there was a penalty. That was after Randall's penalty.
Yes.
So they were up 10 yards.
Oh, I see 15. What you're saying. Yeah, no, you're
so
right.
So they were down on top of him right away. But still, they're doing as well, better than two-thirds of the NFL, three-quarters of the NFL, by not returning any kickoffs. What the hell?
Just don't do it anymore, I guess, which means Janis is a special teamer in even fewer ways than was probably anticipated coming into the season.
He made a nice play on that.
Boy, did he.
Though.
Yes, he did. He got down there in a hurry to hit Switzer for, what, a negative, I think it was?
Minus one, yeah.
Yeah, that was really impressive. Anything else from this game?
Well, Packers are 4-1 in first place. Lions lost. So they're 3-2.
Vikings play the Bears later today.
Vikings play the Bears. And the Packers are tied for, you know, the lead in the NFC.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually ahead of Atlanta now. Atlanta's 3-1, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
so they'd be the one seed right now.
Technically, yeah. But that's the kind of start they need to get at, you know, get after this. After they play Minnesota, I mean, these two games are critical games.
Yes.
Because they're both on the road. And that Minnesota game will be tough to win. I really think that's going to be tougher than this game was. So they still got some work to do.
Absolutely. And if you told me a month ago before the season started that they'd be 4-1 with zero games, with Bakhtiari and Bulaga playing together, with, you know, a patchwork offensive line, with a defense that's, you know, just off the charts with injuries, I never would have believed it. So kudos to McCarthy and his staff. I think 4-1 is pretty darn good given what they've gone through.
Yeah, and it's not much else you can say other than they need to, you know, their defense needs to keep making gains. You know, they're just not there yet.
Well, should we get out of here so we can
Let's
go back
get
to Green
out of
Bay?
Here, yeah.
All right. It is very, very late Sunday evening,
Jerry's
even though you guys
us
are.
Out of here.
Yeah, so Jerry's kicking us enough out of Jerry World. So
we've had enough of his soda and snacks and stuff. So we gotta go.
Be sure to check JS Online and PackersNews.com for full coverage of this game. We will be on our way back to Wisconsin, and until then, we will talk to you guys soon. Yeah.